Romans chapter 4, look in verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised he was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. And may God bless to our hearing the reading. Romans chapter 4, I want to give you an overview of what's going on here, but I want to go through this pretty rapidly today because I want you to see what's happening, what Paul is saying. He's talking about our connection to Abraham. That's an amazing thing because Abraham lived hundreds of years ago. This Chaldean, this Gentile that God called out of the Ur of the Chaldees lived hundreds of years ago. But amazingly, we have a connection to him, to that old reprobate Chaldean that God chose out of the Ur of the Chaldees and he drew him to himself. And I want us to see our connection to him because that explains clearly our connection to Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is getting at in this passage that we're looking at today. So with that in our mind as an introduction, let's bow together for prayer. Father, it's my prayer that God the Holy Spirit would teach our human spirits, those human spirits that were once dead, but have now been made alive because you have given us the faith necessary to place in Jesus Christ and we've trusted him and you've made our spirits alive. We have living spirits and we're able to understand your word, and I pray that God the Holy Spirit would teach us your word today. And Father, I pray always if there are those here who have never trusted Jesus Christ, who still have those dead human spirits, who have no connection to you whatsoever. It's my prayer that they might hear the voice of the shepherd, that you might open to their thinking the truth of the gospel, and I pray that they might be given faith and that faith might be placed in Jesus Christ so that they can be made alive and have eternal life and become children of the living God. That's so important to us here at Glendale, Father, as we preach the gospel, that people hear and believe in Christ. And we're grateful for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul writes in verse 17 here of Romans chapter 4, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed. Now, the presence of him whom he believed, he here is talking about Abraham. And the one whom he believed is talking about God. And it says it right here in the passage. God, continuing, notice what it says about God, who gives life to the dead. Boy, what an explanation of grace that is. God gives life to the dead. And he's going to explain that in just a moment as we peel back this passage. But notice it also says, and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Now look in verse 18. He starts to explain it. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be? Remember back in Genesis chapter 15. Well, let's back up a little further. Let's go all the way back in your mind's eye to Genesis chapter 12. And remember when we talked through the book of Genesis, and we got to Genesis chapter 12, and it was as though out of the blue, God called out of the Ur of the Chaldees, which is modern-day Iraq, He called this man named Abraham, Avram. He just came into his mind and spoke to him. Now, we don't know how he spoke to him, but he called him and he told this Chaldean, this moon-worshipping Chaldean, I want you to go to Canaan. Go where? To Canaan. This land that I'm going to show you. And he says, Abram, I'm going to bless you. Personal blessing. And I'm going to make from you a great nation of people. And in you, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. And I'm going to bless those who bless you, and I'm going to curse those who curse you. What an amazing promise. So here comes this Chaldean down into Canaan, and he realizes that in order for him to become the father of many nations, he has to have at least one son. I mean, that follows, doesn't it? That's reasonable to assume that if I'm going to be the father of many nations, I have to start with one son. But then God did something amazing. He waited. And he waited. And he waited. And Avram and Sarai, as they were known then, were getting older and older, and Sarai was barren. She could have no children. And Avram was getting older, and the thought of being a father was growing weaker and weaker with Avram. He became more and more afraid. He said, where is this boy? So he and Sarai thought they would help God help them. So they schemed a way that Avram could have his son. And you remember the whole story of Hagar and Ishmael. And God told Avram real clearly, it's not going to be Ishmael. And then Avram later on thought, this is Abraham, by the way. He's thinking, well, maybe it could be my servant. The only other heir I have in my house is Eleazar, my servant. God, could you use him? God said, no, I'm not going to use him. And you remember the story in Genesis 15:5? He took Abram outside the tent and he said, look into the heavens, Abraham. Boy, Abraham looked into that night sky and the thousands and thousands and millions and of stars. And he says, Abraham, so shall your descendants be. The implication was, I'm going to give you a son. From your own body, I'm going to give you a son. But Abram is still afraid. He said, look, I'm getting old, Lord. I can't make this happen. And my wife is barren. Now let's plug back in. Look in verse 18. Who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Now look in verse 19. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Look in verse 21. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Verse 22. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. That is, when in Genesis 15:6, we find an interesting passage. It says, and Abraham believed in the Lord, Jehovah God. What did he believe? Well, he believed that God was going to do for him exactly what he said he was going to do. He put his confidence in him. He put his trust in him. He leaned on him. And based on Abraham's faith, God reckoned it to him as righteousness. God declared Abraham to be right before him because of Abraham's faith. Remember that Genesis 15:6 passage became the pattern, it became the foundation for the righteousness that man needs but does not possess in order to be right before God. How we get that righteousness is found right there in that passage. We're to believe in the Lord. That's very, very important. Abraham believed. And remember the story, how it worked out. Eventually, amazingly, God gave them a son. What's his name? Isaac. Yes, Isaac. I love that little tent episode when God says, I'm going to visit you next year and Sarai is going to have a child. And Abram said, hold it. You know how old she is, Lord? Now she's listening through the keyhole in the tent, remember? And she hears that. And she says, I'm going to have a child? I'm barren, you're old, you're an old man, and I'm going to have a child? And what did she do? She laughed. And really, Abraham laughed also. When God finally gave them Isaac, he came as a result of this passage, with God nothing shall be impossible. God says, I can make it happen. And he did make it happen. And they both laughed, so they called the son Laughter. Isaac was a very, very important child. Let me tell you why he was important. Because his birth became a picture, his physical birth became a picture of our spiritual birth. The Bible says that we're born physically alive but spiritually dead. And we need life. We don't need church. We don't need religion. We need life. And only God can give life to the dead. So if we're spiritually dead, we have to be made alive. That's the picture of Isaac. God made Isaac happen. So God gives life to us. God actually gives us the faith to believe in Jesus Christ. Here's the way this thing played out. God told Abraham, in you all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. Now, how in the world did that play out in history? Well, generations later, Isaac was born. Obviously, Isaac was born. And then Isaac had a son. What was his name? Jacob. And then Jacob had a son. And so on. It went all the way down to this man named David, the king. And in King David's line, there was a son born. His name was Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. The God who took on flesh in order to bring God and man together. That's his name. The Lord Jesus Christ. And whose genealogical line is Jesus Christ? In Abraham's genealogical line. Now, later on in history, he says, in you all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. And what he's saying there is, some out of every kindred and tongue and nation, some out of every language group around the world, generation after generation after generation, are going to come to faith in Jesus Christ. And the moment we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, we become connected to Abraham and Abraham's promise. We are spiritual children of Abraham because of our faith in Jesus Christ, who had his connection to Abraham. So we are children of Abraham. This is some of the most miraculous truth on the planet. Look in Galatians chapter 3 just a moment. We'll get back here to Romans. Galatians chapter 3, look in verse 26. For you are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We understand that the moment we trust Jesus Christ as Savior, some amazing things begin to happen. There are things we can't see with our eye, but they're eternal truths, they're spiritual truths nonetheless. The moment we trust Christ as Savior, God amazingly immerses us, He places us into Jesus Christ. We have a forever connection with Christ. We become a part of His body. And since we're connected to Jesus Christ, we're also connected to Abraham. That's a spiritual connection. We're children of Abraham because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now look in verse 29. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That's our forever connection. We're connected to Abraham, that moon-worshipping Chaldean that was called out of Iraq hundreds of years ago and given the promise by God. We're part of that promise. We're children of His. That's amazing, isn't it? That's fascinating to me. And I look into the heavens and I say, God, you're a genius. How could you make all this happen? Now look back in Romans. Look in verse 21. We read that briefly, but let's read it again. And being fully convinced that what He had promised, He was able also to perform. That's what Abraham believed when he believed in the Lord. Now look in verse 22. And therefore it was accounted to him for... That word accounted is the word, the English word, imputed. It's that judicial term to write in on the ledger. Remember, God doesn't make us righteous. God doesn't make us righteous. He declares us to be right the moment we trust Christ as Savior, even though we're still sinners. Oh, but He does amazing things within us. He gives us, like we said a while ago, that born-again spirit. We become a new creation in Christ. He changes He changes us. He gives us a new nature. Now, we still have that old nature, right? But He gives us a new nature, one patterned after the character of Christ. And as we said last time, that's why there's so much conflict in us. Many times we want to say what's right, but we find ourselves saying just the opposite. We want to do what's right, but we find ourselves doing just the opposite. We want to think those good thoughts, but we find ourselves thinking sometimes just the opposite. And we have that conflict. And we want to please God, but we find ourselves doing just the opposite sometimes. There's that war going in. Listen, the unbeliever doesn't have that war. If you have that war going on inside of you, thank God you do. That means you are tied to Him. And thank God when you kick out of fellowship with the Lord, He disciplines you. Thank God for the discipline, because He does not discipline those who do not belong to Him. He disciplines only His children. So when you get out of fellowship with Him, He spanks you good, because He wants us to glorify Christ. He doesn't want us to glorify our flesh. He wants us to magnify Jesus Christ in our life. But the point here is we're connected to Abraham. Now look in verse 22. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now look in verse 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also, verse 24, for us it shall be imputed to us who believe in him. When Abraham believed, he believed in Jehovah God. But we know, we've learned that Jehovah God of the Old Testament is Jesus Christ of the New. They're one and the same. It's Jehovah of the Old, Jesus Christ of the New. So in reality, we can say that Abraham believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for his righteousness. He was declared right because of his faith. Those of us in the New Testament, those of us living today in this economy, we trust the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, and we're declared right because of our faith in Christ. One God, but always given life by faith. To us who believe in him, now notice, who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, but look in verse 25, who was delivered because of our offenses. In other words, when he died on the cross, he bore our sin debt. The word offenses here is transgressions. Remember, we have transgressed the holy domain of God. How do we know that? Well, he gave us his holy requirements, his holy domain, in his Ten Commandments. And we transgressed his holy domain. We sinned against God. The word sin is hamartano. It means to fall short of his glory, to fall short of his righteousness. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But when Jesus Christ died, he died for those transgressions. He died for those offenses. He died for our sins. He died for all of our rebellion. And he died for all of our sin. He left not one sin for us to pay for. Because if we had to pay for one sin, we would miss heaven. He paid the entire debt, past, present, and future. He wiped the slate clean. He died. He was delivered up because of our offenses. Now notice, and was raised because of our justification. Christ's resurrection was proof that God had fully and forever, here's the word, accepted the sacrifice of Christ for our sins. He said, when Jesus died, I am satisfied. Now, he didn't say that when all the animals died. Remember, if any one of those animals had fully propitiated God, then all the sacrificial system would have been done away with. But when Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, died, God says, I'm satisfied. I'm fully and forever satisfied that sin has been paid for. Remember that picture of the Lord Jesus bringing his blood into the presence of Almighty God, propitiating God, satisfying him forever and ever for our sins. That's exciting stuff. Sin is paid for. And the resurrection put that crowning achievement on that, that it said, God, you are satisfied with Christ. He raised him from the dead, and we know the story. Jesus Christ then ascended back into the heavenlies, and as our high priest, he sat down. The priests never sat down on the earth. Never. Their work was never finished. The fires of the altars never went out. But when Jesus Christ sat down, that was an indication that when he said, Tetelestai, it is finished, it was indeed finished. Sin was paid for, forever paid for. And when I, living centuries later, trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, that payment, the results of that payment, is put to my account. That's justification. It's credited to my account. That's imputation. God imputes the righteousness of Christ to me because of my faith in Jesus Christ. That's doctrine. That's truth. That's something we can hold to and cling to. He was raised because of our justification. Now, I told you I would allude to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Look at that just a moment. Therefore, having been justified by faith. Now, stop right there. Let me ask you a question. Have you been justified by faith? Notice carefully, it does not say, therefore, having been justified by joining the church. But it doesn't say, having been justified by turning from all your evil ways. If we could turn from all of our evil ways, all of our sins, and impress God, then Jesus Christ wouldn't have had to die. We can't do that. We've already missed the mark. We're already sinful. So he says, having been justified, not by turning from all your evil ways, not by joining the church, not by reforming your life, not by teaching Sunday school, not by becoming a deacon, not by singing in the choir, not by, listen, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't chew. I don't do drugs. I don't do any. Listen, that's not what it says here. Therefore, having been justified by faith. So I'm asking you a question. Have you been justified by faith? That word justified is to be declared right. We're declared right the moment we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. We're given a judicial righteousness before God. Here's the reason why. Now look up here. Please don't misunderstand. We constantly put our eyes on the sinner. We put our eyes on ourselves. But we're not justified because of any merit in us. Because we deserve it. Somehow we deserve it. We're good. No. We're justified because of Jesus Christ. We get to heaven based upon His goodness. We get to heaven based upon God's grace in Christ. We're declared right not because we deserve it, but because of Jesus Christ. Because of He took our place. Therefore, having been justified by faith, notice, we have peace with God. I have a question for you. Do you have peace with God today? That's called the doctrine of reconciliation. Remember that? To make peace. We've been reconciled in Christ. Through, notice whom? Our Lord Jesus Christ. The God who took on flesh to become the Anointed One. The Christ. Equal with God, He could take God by the hand. Equal with man, He could take man by the hand and bring the two together. The Christ. The Lord, the God who became a man to do the work of the Christ. Is that not precious? That's why it says, listen, how are we saved? We believe in His name. What does His name mean? His name means the gospel. Do you have peace with God? But to die without Jesus Christ means to spend an eternity separated from God, facing God's judgment. We have to receive the benefits of that work. We have to make it personal. What kind of a connection do we have with the Lord Jesus Christ today that will transfer the magnificent benefits of His work to us? What do we have to use to do that? Here's the word, faith. Just like Abraham trusted in the Lord, the moment we trust Jesus Christ as the one who died to pay for our sin, the Bible, He declares us to be right before Him. The moment I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, He declares me to be right before Him. Now remember, He doesn't make me righteous. He declares me to be right. But He gives me God the Holy Spirit to live inside of me. He gives me a new nature. He gives me a hunger to know more about Him, to know more of His Word, to glorify Christ. We're here to glorify Him. That's why He leaves us here. And just like God caused Isaac to be. Did you hear that? God caused Isaac to be. God causes the faith in us to place in Jesus Christ because we're born spiritually dead. And the spiritually dead cannot do anything but be dead. Until God gives life to the dead. He gives us the faith to believe in Jesus Christ. And He gives us the right information. And we understand the information. And we trust Christ as Savior. And we're born of God. Have you trusted Jesus Christ? Have you believed in Him? Have you received His grace and mercy? If you hadn't, would you do it? Father, we love You and we thank You for Your Word. And we thank You for the amazing truth that we are forever connected to Abraham. He is our father also, just as He is the father of the Jewish nation. They received that physical tie to Abraham, but we receive the spiritual tie. We plug in at Genesis 15:6. But we know that God has never abrogated His promises to Israel. He's never gone back on those promises. And they're now a nation living in unbelief. They're rejecting that carpenter from Nazareth. But one day, they're not going to reject him anymore. God is going to bring on that nation so much pressure from the Arabs and other Palestinians about them and other nations that they're going to cry out for their Redeemer to come. They're going to cry out for the Mashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. And a nation is going to be born again in a day. one day they're going to be a redeemed nation of people. But Father, today we're grateful that you're putting together a new nation made up of both Jews and Greeks, those who have become a new creation in Christ, a new man. And Father, that's amazing truth, but it's truth that we need to teach. And Father, it's my sincere prayer that if there be someone here who's never trusted Jesus Christ, please help them to realize, Father, we're not asking them to join a church or give their money or turn from their sins or do any of that. We're asking them to receive a gift that's so precious and so amazing. Just that gift of eternal life by faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for your amazing grace. In Jesus' name, amen.